We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert, what's going on?
Well, Mike, I had some of the same problems you did last night. In fact, I got out of a cab that, like, literally wasn't moving. Like, the street we were on was on, like,
I waited 45. I had my boys in the car, and I waited 45 minutes. I was going down to have dinner with Jim, and he was throwing a private party. And we did not move for 45, 50 minutes. And finally, we were that late to get down there, and I said to the driver, forget it, just if you could turn around. He went over to grass, went the other way, and we went back to the hotel where I was staying, and we just could not get in there. It was just impossible. So it was that kind of crazy night here. All right, what do you think about the have any quibbles with any of the awards last night?
No, I mean, I said at the end of the year I like Breeze for MVP, but there's absolutely no issue that I have with Patrick Mahomes winning MVP. I guess you can argue that, like, sometimes you'd like to see the MVP and Offensive Player of the Year be different players. And
yeah, he's earned it, though. He did.
Yeah, he earned it. And then I think the one that sticks out to me that, you know, I probably would have done differently if I look at all of them would have been Offensive Rookie of the Year. I probably would have given that to Baker Mayfield.
I'm glad Barkley got it because he's such a nice kid. You know, that he is, yeah. And I don't know Baker Mayfield at all, but I thought Mayfield would win because I just thought I said that to Barkley the other night. I happened to see him at the CA party, and I said to him, you know what? I'm afraid, you know, quarterbacks usually win these things because he really wanted to win the award, and I could tell he was very excited when he won. I'm glad he won. He's a very nice kid. I'm glad he won.
Yeah. And I don't, like, you know, I mean, look, we're talking in these cases, like, if you have an issue with Mahomes getting MVP over Breeze, Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns.
Yes.
If there's a little bit of an issue with Barkley getting Offensive Rookie of the Year over Baker Mayfield, Barkley had 2,000 scrimmage yards. And so it's not like any of these were off. It's just a couple of them where I think you can make an argument for someone else. That's all.
How about the five guys who got in, the current MVP, the current Hall of Fame guys? Any of the guys? Gonzalez, Reed, no-brainer. Bailey, very solid. I love Ty Law, so I think he deserves it. Mawai is pretty much a borderline guy, but I watch Mawai play a lot. He was Bill's first signing when Bill first came to the Jets. He was his first free agent signing, and he turned out to be a great signing. He gave Mawai a lot of money to get him to lure him to the Jets. He had a really good career.
Yeah, and I think they've, you know, it's interesting. I talked to a couple people who were in the room for my Monday column, and you know, they mentioned this, and I hadn't really looked at it, but they really do have sort of a logjam of offensive linemen, and you know, they feel like they need to start finding a way to get some of them in. And you know, Mawai's there, of course, but then there's Tony Boselli, who's certainly deserving and not in. Alan Faneca, a very, very good player for a long time. Steve Hutchinson, so. There are a number of offensive linemen that I think that they feel like deserve to be in that aren't in, and it'll be interesting to see how that part of it works out because it could be one after the next. You know, it could be they just put in one a year until they get the decks cleared.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm telling you, there's not a happier man probably in the world than Gil Brandt to get in. You know that? Because Gil Brandt, his whole life has been the NFL. I mean, every minute of it. So him getting in, you could tell Gil's getting old, and you could tell that he was, you know, I'm sure that was a big deal for him getting into the Hall of Fame.
And, you know, I worked with Gil at NFL Network for a bunch of years. Just a really good guy. And I always feel like the bar should be, can you tell the story of pro football without a guy? You know, and you can't tell the story of pro football without Gil Brandt. He really did change the way scouting works and helped build a dynasty in Dallas. And, you know, I'd actually argue that over the years we haven't put enough scouts and general managers in, and so it's good to see Gil get in.
All right, let's get to the game. And, you know, it's interesting. I always look for the themes. These are easy themes. You got the old and new. You got the young and old. You got the established guys who have done so much. You got these new guys, the new kids on the block who want to, you know, you got this young quarterback who's been erratic, but he's gotten there very quickly. You got the coach who is the next, you know, everyone's ready to canonize as the next genius, as the next great coach, and he will get there with a win today. He will take a big hit with a loss, but he will get there with a win, and a lot of the league, and, you know, we talked about this on the show this week, a lot of the league is not thrilled about his ascendancy. It's come very fast.
I think everybody respects Sean. Like, I think everybody respects what Sean's done. I think everyone recognizes Sean's, I think, what you'd call a coaching freak, right? Like, he is the total package. He's, you know, very good with the X's and O's, a good play caller, good at game management, very, very good in the room, you know? And so, in so many ways, he's a complete coach, which has allowed him to do this at that age. I think what people are a little upset with is sort of what they feel like is overreaching for the next one. You know, and so it's Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor, it's Matt LaFleur. It's all these guys who've gotten head coaching jobs ahead of guys who've probably been waiting a little, if not a lot longer than those guys have. You know, and so I think that that's probably more than anything else where you see some of the backlash. It's not with Sean himself. It's with, you know, maybe the overreach by some other teams to try and find the next one.
When you put this in perspective, it is remarkable today when you watch this game. And McVay's really good. There's no question. He's got something. His team responded quickly to him when he became coach. He turned the culture around immediately. He's coached 35 games in the NFL. Belichick has coached 425. I mean, that is, when, think about that. I mean, that, and that's not even counting the years where Belichick was an assistant. I mean, and a coordinator. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you have a professor here who is the professor emeritus, who's, you know, basically the, you know, Albert Einstein, and you got a guy here who's coached 35 games. This guy's, you know, still wet behind the ears. That's an amazing thing when you think about the game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think contrasting styles, but the guys are alike in certain ways too. You know, they contrast obviously in age. One's on offense, one's on defense. You know, but I think that they're similar in philosophy, in how they see the game. Both teams play a matchup game and can change from one thing to the next on a week-to-week basis. Both guys are very comfortable in their own skin, and you can tell when you listen to them talk and you hear them at the podium or you hear them in front of their team. You can tell how comfortable they are with who they are. And, you know, I think that there's just raw intelligence with both of them too, you know, and that part of it can't be overrated either, because that's what allows you to be able to perform on the biggest stage and perform against the best. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of things that you see with the two of these guys that are different, but a lot of the reasons why both guys are very, very good, they line right up with each other.
All right, themes here. There's a couple of interesting ones. Number one, Aaron Donald. People want to call. People want to put Aaron Donald in the Reggie White class. They want to put him in the Lawrence Taylor class. They want to put him in that very special class. You know what? Those guys in big games showed up and made a difference. They destroyed blocking schemes. They dominated games. Aaron Donald can't be silent today if he wants to be a great, great player.
And this is going to be a challenge for him, Mike, because I think at least a piece of today is going to be, and probably most of today, they're going to be scheming and devoting resources to stopping him. I mean, if there's one thing that the Patriots will not do, is they usually will not let you beat them with your best players. They're going to find a way to take away whatever you do well, and they're going to make you play left-handed. And so I think the challenge for Aaron Donald today will be not getting frustrated. You know, the Patriots are going to throw everything at him. Can he find a way to kind of maintain his head and take advantage of whatever few opportunities he has to make plays? Because, again, I think that they're going to devote a lot to stopping him. And I think because of that, the key to the game may be Ndamukong Suh. Because Ndamukong Suh is the guy who is going to be seeing better matchups. Ndamukong Suh is the guy who's got the ability to take advantage of those. If you look at the Rams' defensive line, and I'll take you back to last year's Super Bowl, the Eagles really didn't get to Brady much early in that game. But you want to go to the game-changing play in the fourth quarter. If you look, Brandon Graham makes that play, right? He's one-on-one. And the reason he's one-on-one is because Fletcher Cox is eating up a double team. And so I think that's at least some of what we're going to have to see from the Rams' defense today.
No question.
Is whatever opportunities Aaron Donald has, they got to hope he takes advantage of them. But for most of the game, they need Ndamukong Suh to win his matchups because he's the one who's going to be getting the matchups.
He is going to get the single, but you know what? Those great guys, Reggie White, Taylor, they beat double teams. I mean,
yeah.
they beat, you know, the great player, the really guy, the unstoppable guy. If there's a point in this game, you know, if you watch in this game early and all of a sudden there's Aaron Donald and he's knocking Brady on his rear end, the Pats got some problems. I mean,
yep.
If I see that once early, I know it'll make a big difference in this game because that doesn't happen. And when it happens, it really does impact how they play. And you know what? I talked to Tuck about that this week, and Tuck said he even liked that he got double teamed at time in that game because he thought it gave him some edges off the at certain places. I want to see also if they move Donald around because I think that's critical. I think you can't stay in one place. I don't care if you're suited to play one spot. You can't stay in one place against the Pats and think they're not going to block you. They are. You got to move them around, and the guys who beat them usually with speed. They usually don't beat him with power. They beat him with speed because the Pats are a physical team. They're a big team. You beat him with speed moves. You don't beat him with the power moves.
Yeah, and, you know, I think with the key with the Rams, the way that Rams defensive line is set up too, Mike, is they're set up to beat you from the inside. And if you want to look at what beats Brady,
inside.
It's generally not edge pressure.
No,
Brady's
it's inside.
So
it's inside, yeah.
So good with his feet, he's able to get himself out of trouble if you're coming off the edges. If you come right up the middle at him, that's where he's historically had trouble. And you want to go back to that Giants game, what do they do with Justin Tuck? They move Justin Tuck inside.
Everywhere.
And Justin Tuck was creating problems, not from the outside, but from the inside. And that's the one thing that's so interesting about this particular matchup is that you've got not one, but two guys inside who can play inside on early downs and on passing downs. And that right there should be advantage Rams because that's where you get Brady. You get Brady from the inside.
No, always. He wants to step up. He doesn't want to go left and right. He wants to step up, and that is key. So he is key. The other one is the young Ram quarterback because the one scary part of this game for me, and I think the Rams have a very good team, and they can physically stay with the Pats, which is key. You got to prove, first of all, that you can play physically with the Pats. I think the Rams can. I don't think there's any question they can. But he has been pretty good in the playoffs, but he has been very erratic at times. He's missed more downfield open receivers than any quarterback in the league. He missed more deep throws to wide open receivers than any quarterback in the league. He can be extremely wild at times. He's an erratic thrower. He was pretty cool against the Cowboys. He was pretty good, I thought, in the game-changing moments against the Saints. But he can be very erratic.
And I think that you won't see – I don't think you're going to see him get rattled. To me, like, well, he really showed us something in that Saints game. They go down 13-0. That place is rocking. And, yeah, he found a way to gather himself, gather his team, made that huge throw at the end of the first half down the field to Brandon Cooks. Like, he's got a good head about him. But I'm with you. Like, this is, I mean, really now about 6-7 weeks where we've seen a different player than we saw early in the year. And he's not quite as consistent. And that's why I think so much of this, and if you want to compare the two playoff games, you can. I think so much of this is going to come down to whether or not they can run the ball and whether or not they can get Todd Gurley going early. If they get Todd Gurley going, that unlocks their play action, and now we're talking about a different quarterback. So much of what Sean McVay's done to get Jared Goff going over the last 2 years has been about making him more comfortable, and he's more comfortable playing fast. And he plays fast off of play action and off of you know, different types of run action. And for that stuff to be effective, you have to be running the ball effectively. And so I think so much of this is going to come down to what happens with Todd Gurley in the first 10, 15 minutes of the game. Can they get him going? If they can, this could look a little bit like the early stages of the Atlanta game 2 years ago where the Falcons looked very, very fast early on. But so much of that, again, is predicated on being able to get the running game going so you can get the best version of Jared Goff out there.
Well, I think you're also going to see the Pats. We're talking about Albert Breer. I think you're going to see the Pats also go against Tennessee today and show you a lot of gimmick coverages, a lot of more zone than usual. Pats play more man than any team in the league.
Yep.
And But Goff only threw one interception against man this whole year. He threw 12 of his 13 interceptions against zone. I think you're going to see them with a lot of their gimmick looks here where it looks like one thing and it's not, and they're dropping guys back, and they're faking mm-hmm. who's coming, and all the different stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see if he handles that because, you know, they're good at coming up with some really tricky looks on stuff that, you know, one of them, an early pick six, really, you know, turns things around. And I worry about him and his recognition early. That's why I think they might try to play a little more conservatively on offense early just to get him kind of his feet wet in the game. It'll be interesting to see if they do that.
Yeah, and I, if you want to keep an eye on one thing, Mike, watch the play clock. Watch what time they're snapping the ball. You know, one thing the Patriots can do, and I think would do, is if Sean McVay continues to take advantage of the coach to quarterback communication up to 15 seconds, right? Up to till there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. You could certainly see the Patriots sending in two calls and switching, right? Like, show them one thing, give them something else. I think the one way for the Rams to combat that is to go with no huddle, with muddle huddle, and snap the ball early in the play clock and sort of force the Patriots to declare quickly. So I think that part of it is going to be a really interesting kind of inside the game piece of all of this is what does the play, like, when are the Rams snapping and how much is on the play clock and how are they sort of trying to force the Patriots to declare what they're doing. I think that there's a way for the Rams to do it, and I think Sean McVay has shown over the last 2 years, you know, a willingness to use tempo and use the play clock as a weapon. Just keep an eye on that in the first quarter. I think that there's a very real chance we're going to see the Rams try to get going no huddle, try to get Jared Goff playing fast out there. There's risk, of course. The risk in doing that sort of thing, you get a couple three and outs. Now all of a sudden your defense might be out there for too long, but I do think that they're going to try to find a way to force the Patriots to declare what they're doing by using that play clock against them and make things a little bit easier on Jared Goff that way.
And I also think that you're going to see, you're going to hear a lot about the Lion games for both teams because the Lions did a great job. Now, they won't look at by the Ram final score, but they did a great job against the Rams until they turned the ball over in that game.
Yeah.
And then the Lions absolutely destroyed the Pats.
Yep.
Brady had 130 yards passing. They only had 200 yards for the game. They got beat 26-10. And if you remember, they took Gronkowski completely off the field that night. And that'll be interesting. And those Lion tapes for both teams I'm sure they've been pored over every minute of the last 2 weeks because they both did both of those defensive game plans worked very well against both these teams.
Yeah, and you know, one of the interesting things that's a little different about this Patriot team and a flaw we haven't seen from them a lot is the run defense hasn't been great this year. And there have been teams that have effectively controlled the game on the ground against them. And the Lion game was one of them. They gave up 159 yards in that game. They gave up 150 yards to the Tennessee Titans, lost that one. 189 yards to the Dolphins, lost that one. 158 yards to the Steelers, lost that one. And so, you know, I think the Lion tape could be pretty interesting for the Rams in that the Lions found a way to run the ball on that Patriot defense and to sort of bully them up front. And I think that's where that's where you get the Rams in their comfort zone. We saw it 3 weeks ago when they beat the Cowboys in the divisional round. And that's sort of a flaw the Patriots have had this year in trying to get more athletic and trying to get a little more versatile up front. That's a flaw they've had this year. And it never really fully went away. They've done a much better job in the playoffs. But even late into the regular season, they had trouble stopping the run, so that's certainly something to watch.
Well, listen, both teams are going to try and run the ball if they can. The question is, are they going to be able to do it? Because, you know, listen, you got Sony Michel trying to become, you know, one of the few guys who ever has 300-yard games in the postseason. That never happens. I mean,
right.
He's had 100 yards plus in both games. He's been very, very good. And if that happens today, you know, if they get 100 yards, if Sonny Michel gets 100 yards, you can go home. I mean, this game's over if he gets 100 yards. I mean, but I don't think the Rams will allow that to happen today. I'd be surprised if he's able to run the ball that well.
It's part of who the Patriots have become, and it's one of the things that's so impressive about what Bill's done this year in building up that team and really kind of changing the face of who they are. Mike, they really have become a power running team. And the way that they were able to control the pass rush against the Chargers, the way they were able to control the pass rush against the Chiefs, was right up Main Street with that running game. Over 300 yards in those two games. And so, you know, that's a way to slow down a high-flying offense. It's a way to control a pass rush. And, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I certainly think the idea that they can control the game through Sony Michel and the running game is there for them. And, you know, again, to Bill's credit, they've really invested in the running game over the last year, both time and resources. They've seen it pay off in the playoffs. And so, yeah, it's job number one. It sounds funny playing against an offense that's led by Tom Brady. But job number one for the Rams really is slowing down the running game.
And we got a couple of guys. I was talking about Albert Breer. We got a couple of guys who are going to be leaving today to become head coaches, right?
Yep.
You know, right after the game. We got one. Let's talk about them for a second. We got guys in this game who are departing after the game.
Yep, and that's Brian Flores, who's going to the Miami Dolphins. He's the linebackers coach of the Patriots. He's the de facto defensive coordinator. He's already basically got the shell of a staff put together in Miami. Jim Caldwell will be his associate head coach. Chad O'Shea is going to be his offensive coordinator. Patrick Graham is going to be his defensive coordinator. Lots of Patriot ties in the staff that he's putting together down there. And he's got the relationship with Chris Greer, who's Bobby Greer's son, who worked in New England for a long time. You know, and then Zach Taylor, who, again, we mentioned him earlier when we were talking about McVay and, you know, people being upset about a little bit of an overreach for the next McVay by other teams. You know, Zach Taylor will be off to Cincinnati after this one. And so I think the one thing that helps in this a situation here, Mike, is the fact that with both those guys, they coach on the same side of the ball as the head coach. Zach Taylor's an offensive coach, so is Sean McVay. Brian Flores is defensive coach. Bill Belichick is too. And so you look at that. You look at the situation those guys are in, and whether or not that could cause any sort of issue for these teams. Yeah, I think having the head coach being on the side of the ball that these guys coach on mitigates any sort of problem that might have been there otherwise.
All right, who are you picking?
I'm picking the Patriots, 35-31. Who you got?
You know, I would take the Rams with the points. You know, listen, I know the Pats, because of Brady and their experience, are very hard to beat here. But I think the Rams have a lot of good players, and I think the game will be really close. I would every Patriot game is. I don't think the Pats. Goff scares me a little. The game could get away from him. That's the only thing that I have any fear of. But they have some playmakers on defense with Tlaib, with Donald, with Sue, even a couple of their linebackers. I could see them having a decent day there. If they do, I think they have a chance to win the game. So I would take the points in the game and hope for the best. Also, I want to root against the Pats anyway, so that's why I'm going to the game and I want to root for the Rams.
The one thing that you got there is that the Rams are, I think, considerably faster than New England,
and that always helps. And the Pats do have trouble against speed, but the difference in the quarterback play is the scary part, because you know Brady's not going to self-destruct in the game. He's been here forever. He knows and sees everything. And you got a young quarterback here who's not yet a top player. Let's be honest, he's not. He's going to have to play the game of his life in a very – I'll be very interested early to watch him just to make sure that he doesn't have a case of, oh, my God, look where I am, you know, which could happen. I mean, I've seen it happen to guys before. I've seen it happen to guys in the playoffs. You just hope it doesn't happen to him today. And if he doesn't, I think it could be a fun game.
Yeah, and I can't say it enough, Mike. Todd Gurley, I think, is very – I think Todd Gurley is a huge key. You know, if they get Todd Gurley going, I think it'll be very easy for Jared Goff to keep his head about him in the first quarter of the game, get himself going. I think their ability to run the ball, and again, the Patriots have been susceptible to this, but their ability to run the ball behind Todd Gurley, I think, can absolutely make the difference in whether the Rams' offense looks like the offense 3 weeks ago against the Cowboys, or looks like the one that struggled out of the gate against the Saints. That matchup there, that Ram offensive line against the Patriot D line, and then what Todd Gurley looks like, what he can bring to the table now after missing so much of that Saints game, I think that's a big key.
Listen, thanks for your help all season contributing. You did a great job for us. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Albert Breer back after this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!